here and some of the challenges or successes or surprising things that got her to where she is now. So with that, thank you, Margaret.
Thank you. You'll notice that Mercy put up my slideshow right before here, and that will happen to you if you go ahead and become an assistant professor, that you too will make all your presentations the night before you give them in time. It's a slippery slope. But today what I'm going to do is first go over a little bit about my pathway and how I got from graduate school to the assistant professor job I have at Arkansas now, and some of my decision process that went into all the different moves I made, and then I'll also end with some tips for those of you who think you might want to go on to a faculty type position for what you might look for and how you might prepare. So I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina. I was always real outdoorsy. My parents are not farmers. My grandparents were. And I went to Duke. My mom's an administrator at Duke, so we got a really good discount. And I studied environmental science because I thought, oh, I want to be like an ecologist. And then I was like, oh, I'll do like sustainable agriculture, whatever that means. So that's kind of what I did. I got into sustainable agriculture type research, and I did an internship at North Carolina State at the Center for Environmental Farming Systems, and so got interested in pursuing that career further. I also screwed around a little bit and thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail, so I had some fun after undergrad. Then I did a Fulbright Fellowship in India, so that was my first international experience, really. I had done study abroad in Costa Rica, so I was like, I got this. And then I showed up in India, and nobody met me at the airport, and I was like, what the hell have I done? You know? But it was a really good experience, and I think I learned as much about what I did not know, how to do independent research, how to work in international development, as I, you know, was able to accomplish anything, but I got to show off how tall I was, and I learned a little bit about small farmer breeders and intellectual property development and business consulting for small farmers in India. So I returned, and I did a master's at UC Davis. I ended up working with Paul Goetz, who does a lot of work on crop domestication and crop evolution, and I worked on, you know, understanding how small farmers in rural Oaxaca allocate spatially their genetic diversity of common beans. And it was all very interesting, and I got to go to Oaxaca. Then I mostly, like, came back and ran markers, which I knew nothing about when I started my master's. I asked someone in class the first day, I was like, what's PCR? And then I was like, oh, don't ever ask a question again. So I learned a lot of skills, but I thought, well, this is all very interesting, but I don't know how useful it is down the road. So I got interested in going on to do applied cultivar development. So I ended up moving back to my hometown, to Raleigh, North Carolina, where I did my PhD research at North Carolina State University, and I worked on wheat breeding. So as you'll see, I didn't do any horticulture in grad school. I was all agronomic crops. I really lucked out in this program. My advisor was so hard and so strict. And, you know, I'm sure at the time I was, like, borderline abused, I thought, but I'm so grateful for the experience now. Perhaps I have Stockholm Syndrome, but I also think that, like, I learned so many skills beyond just my research. Like, what I did for my graduate research was just a small part of what I got. He had us involved in all aspects of the cultivar development program. You know, we were putting together seed packets, driving the tractors. God help me, I'm terrible, but driving the tractors and, you know, managing everything about the program. We interviewed the undergrads that we'd hire as our assistants every year, and all of those experiences to me were so much more valuable than my particular research project. So I finished up after 3.5 years, and I thought, like, what do I do next? So, you know, my ultimate goal, I wanted to lead in a successful applied plant breeding program, and I wanted to live somewhere nice in the southeastern U.S. And so I kind of factored it around that, and, you know, that was kind of my decision to go on for a PhD. I am like a bossy person, and I would be miserable if I was a research associate, you know, if I was like a program associate. So I knew I needed to go on and be the boss. So I am happy doing that. I was open to go public and private options. I didn't particularly care which crop I worked on. It's not like I had this like passion that I must work on fruit. But I kind of knew that corn and soybeans were not particularly exciting. There's a lot of work that's already been done. And so, you know, getting that little increment of gain wasn't that exciting to me. So I wanted to work on a smaller crop. My advisor put heavy pressure on me to go into the private sector. But, you know, I took one class, and we visited a lot of private breeding programs and public. And a lot of the private breeding programs, I was noticing where you're doing applied cultivar development in the field, so not at headquarters. It was like three guys in a double-wide trailer with a combine and a stray cat. And I was like, oh, this seems a little sad. You know, like, I'm really a people person, and I'm extroverted. I like to be around a lot of folks. So they seemed a little undesirable for most of those locations. And I knew I was a good writer. Like, I don't enjoy writing. I enjoy being praised. And, you know, and I was praised a lot for it. So I knew I could do academia. And a lot of college towns are nice places to live. So this factored heavily in my decision. So then I knew I was going to finish in the fall, and I started looking for jobs in January, so about 10 months ahead of when I finished. And I interviewed, and I got offers two different places for two really different jobs. The first was at the International Center for Tropical Agriculture in Cali, Colombia. There, the job was to lead an applied tropical forage grass breeding program, specifically the grass brachiaria, which all the cows in Brazil love to eat. And, you know, this was particularly appealing to me because there was adventure. I loved doing new things and the, you know, excitement of it all, moving to a new country, opportunities to publish. And I knew I would develop some new language skills that might be useful to me down the road. I spoke Spanish a little, but not that well. My parents were super against me moving to Cali, Colombia. More than it was actually quite safe, so they were wrong. And my advisor was strongly against it. He told me that the CGIAR is not the place it once was to work. A lot of budget cuts, a lot of family problems for people who try to have long-term career theirs, and he really tried to steer me away from it. He tried to steer me towards a job at Pioneer Hybrid. It was a molecular breeding position in soybean. So it would have been located in West Memphis, Arkansas, and I would mostly do statistics and genomic selection for the applied breeder there and then move on when he retired. So West Memphis is not my favorite location in the world. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm just going to do statistics all day. Like, I mean, I can do statistics, and I do statistics, but it's not my favorite part of my day. So in the end, I interviewed both places, and what made the decision was that I had to interview at Pioneer headquarters in Des Moines or outside Johnson, and it was snowing, and there was ice on my windshield, and I didn't know how to use an ice scraper, and I was kind of late, and I still got the offer, but I went to Seattle, and it was 85 degrees, and they plied me with tropical cocktails, and I thought, screw my parents and my advisor, I'm moving to Colombia. So I moved, and I took on this job as a tropical forage breeder, and it was a great first job for me. Immediately, I was like writing grants, supervising a large team. I was working on a cropping system that was totally different than anything I'd ever done before. Didn't know anything about forages or pastures. They're clonally propagated by seed. It's apomixis, which is like a really exciting phenomena that was great for basic research stuff. Polyploid. So I learned lots of skills that helped me get the job I am in now and were really different from what I learned in grad school. So I had a great time doing it. I improved my Spanish. It was a fun place to live. The weather's great. It's cheap. I sure miss the dog walker who walked my dog for $1 a day and the maid who cleaned my house for $15 a day. But in the end, there were some cons to the job. if you go to the CGIS system, which a lot of people have mentioned they're interested in, be prepared for mind-numbing bureaucracy. There is so much paperwork. I don't do any paperwork as a public sector plant breeder compared to what I did there. You're constantly justifying your existence. People would ask me, like, did you survey women farmers to ask what they wanted in a forage? And it's like, I'm sure they want better live weight gain in cattle. Like, come on, you know? So you have to do all this kind of stuff. There were a lot of complications with international movement of seed to Brazil. I didn't have the freedom to manage intellectual property. And my boyfriend at the time, now my husband, hated his job. So there were a lot of things that after 3 years, it was like, okay, time to move on. Oh, one other thing is that, like, I am real extroverted. I like working with people. You know, I like communicating. And I felt somewhat stifled in my ability to do all of that in a second language. I improved my Spanish a lot, but I still am not fluent. You know, now I watch, like, international professors at our university and see them kind of struggle sometimes communicating with stakeholders. And I am very sympathetic because I surely did the same thing when I was talking to ranchers in rural Colombia. So I interviewed a couple places before, but I ultimately saw this job at the University of Arkansas, saw the job announcement in January 2016, and I knew about the program because I took a class on breeding clonally propagated crops from Craig Yencho at NC State. And they had a kind of a guest lecture. John didn't give it, but Craig talked about the University of Arkansas Blackberry program. And I knew that they were not poor, which is important to me in choosing a job. I want to have the resources to do the work I want to do. Interesting crops and a great reputation. So I thought, I will apply. What the hell? But I knew nothing about fruit crops. So I studied. I read articles. I read like a 120-page article by John about blackberries. And I called up collaborators of theirs, and I asked about the program. So I did a lot of research. But I still assumed I had no shot in hell at the job. And in fact, I only got called into the interview because Jonathan Fresneto Ramirez took a job at Ohio State. So thanks to him. And so I interviewed in April. And fortunately, a huge shock to me, I got an offer. And I started there officially about 3 years ago exactly. So my current responsibilities, I have an 80% research appointment. So I lead our applied peach and muscadine breeding programs, and I do molecular breeding activities for all of our crops. I have one PhD, three masters, and one undergrad student right now. And when John Clark officially retires about 3 years from now, the idea is that I will lead all of our programs, including Blackberry. I also have some teaching responsibilities. I teach three classes. They're each only every other year, though, so it's not, you know, terrible. I teach fruit production, which is undergraduate and grad, advanced plant breeding, where we do quantitative genetics, breeding clonally propagated crops, and molecular breeding. And I teach a plant breeding methods class, where we visit public and private breeding programs, all within driving distance of the University of Arkansas, and kind of a two-week road trip class. So that was a really fun one. And I enjoy the teaching thing. So what makes my job exciting? I think I have the best of both worlds in the public and private sector. We have a ton of public-private partnerships. You know, I really want to see my varieties on a bunch of growers' fields. I'm very competitive in that way, so I think I would have done well in the private sector in that sense. You know, I want to see our varieties making an impact, and they do. And we have a pretty steady funding stream from royalties and breeding agreements that allow us a lot of flexibility to do cool work and have students. I also get to do fun molecular research, and that's kind of my winter plan. You know, my summer plan is mostly out in the field. I have great mentorship. I work with John Clark. We've had, like, we're going to have a 5-year overlap in the end, which is just crazy. What a great opportunity that is. He's wonderful. I love working with him, and that's great. I've got a fun, supportive department. We have a lot of cake all the time. I'm going to get very fat. We work in a beautiful location in the Ozark Mountains, so I got what I wanted, a beautiful college town in the South to live in, so all that's good. there's a lot of challenges to an academic job too. Constant juggling. We have a lot of different crops we work on. We have the intellectual property and commercialization aspect to what we do that is a huge time commitment. Got to do research, and I've got to publish. Got to write grants. Got to teach. I'm on a bunch of committees. I do a lot of student advising for undergrad and graduate students, and personnel management has honestly been the biggest challenge to me since I've been there. I thought, oh, I will be a great advisor, and this will be easy. It is not easy. You know, managing graduate students and people, it's something you're going to have to do in an academic job or a private sector job, and it's challenging. So it's hard to ever get anything done, and it's hard to ever really feel like you can stop working and feel not guilty about it. But overall, I love it. I'm really happy with where I ended up. So when you decide, is an academic job right for me, you should ask questions. You know, do you like to write? Are you good at it at least? Because you're going to have to write a lot. And you may have to do some in the private sector, but not as much, I don't think. Are you independent? You have to be able to start and you have to be able to finish projects. If you can't finish what you started, there's nobody to hold you accountable but you until you go up for tenure, and then you're screwed. So you have to be able to manage your own projects and see them through to completion. You need to be able to be a jack of all trades. I think sometimes they say, you know, you can be very specialized in academia. I don't feel that's the case for me. I have to know how to grow the plants, understand all the pathological problems, you know, the genetics, everything. So it's a lot. And I think if I was in a big company, I could be more specialized. Can you multitask? Job stability is a big benefit to academia, so that's one thing. And are you interested in mentoring students? So regardless of what career path you go on, I think when you're in graduate school, get experience managing people and projects. They're going to ask you questions about this in your interview, and you need to have something that you talk about other than your graduate research, which may be fascinating and really interesting, but people want to see that. Write small grants if you can. Help interviews, supervise undergraduate summer workers so you have some managerial experience. Practice speaking in front of a crowd. God knows if you teach, you're going to have to do it a lot. And then, yeah, just do anything you can to go beyond your particular lab project. If you work with an extension specialist, go out there and do extension. If you work with a breeder, do cultivar development. Be out there, learn the system. Because if you're only doing your project, you're not going to go on to a very successful career. So when you're looking for your first job, keep an open mind, especially for your first job out. Your dream job may not be open. My first graduate student told me that she decided when she was 15 years old that she wanted to be a raspberry breeder in Oregon when she got a job. And I was like, well, I hope he retires in time because there's one. She since quit my program, so she's not going on the right path to get that job probably. But so don't limit yourself to a certain crop or a certain university. I always wanted to end up at NC State. I'm not at NC State. You know, you have to be more open than that, like, because you just will set yourself up for disappointment. Find a job first out where you can be independent. You don't have to postdoc. You can postdoc if you want, but when you postdoc, please make sure that you are getting experience working independently, managing a project, and not just publishing. Papers are great, but once you get to a certain number of bullet points, they stop counting those and they want to see other experience. Can you lead? So consider industry positions as well. If you do an industry job for several years, if you published all your papers from your dissertation, you can still go back. Consider a job at a smaller university. Consider an international center. There are lots of other options. Start looking early. A lot of places will hire early. I got hired 10 months before I started my position, so that's a good feeling when you go to your defense that you're going to a job. And, you know, look for positions where the funding outlook is bright, particularly for your forever job. You know, not all faculty positions are created equal. There are some positions where they create an announcement and you think, Christ, what are they thinking? You know, there's no chance that this person is going to go on and have a steady funding stream. So you need to have a plan for how you're going to fund your work. When you're interviewing, research the position. You know, there are people who come into interviews and they give a talk about their research and, you know, their plan, and it has nothing to do with the job description. So you want to read papers by faculty in the department, people who have been in the job before, Call collaborators. Find out what they want. And come with a long list of questions. And when you give your interview, like your seminar, you want to make sure that you don't just talk about your dissertation research. You want to talk about what you are going to do in the job. It's so important to do that well, and I see it done badly frequently. So tailor your presentation. Try to relax. It's super stressful. Academic job interviews are so stressful. But, you know, try to have fun and come across as a fun person that people would want to work with. It's easier for some than others if you're real shy, right? Generally, like, do not go if you're not there prepared and you don't genuinely have an interest in the job, because you're wasting your time and a very stressful experience, and you're wasting everyone else's time, and there's only three like people they can interview and bring in. And I want to say, like, disappointment is sadly very common. It can be a tough job market. I interviewed for one job when I was at SEAT that I was sure I was going to get. Like, in fact, I heard that I was going to get it from two people who talked to the people on the hiring committee, and I did not get it. And I was devastated, you know, like, but things work out in the end. So you have to have a thick skin when you go through the process. So overall, like, I think academic careers can be great jobs, and they can be very lucrative too, you know? I mean, it's a fun place to work, especially if you like solving problems and, you know, investigating and getting into things, and if you're independent and able to follow through on things. So I highly recommend it as a track, and I want to thank you guys for your attention, and I'll take any questions. I do have a 12-month appointment. You know, there are some that are 9-month appointments, but, like, God, we do all of our research in the summer. You know, I work in the summer a lot more than I work during the school year, so I would be angry if I was on a 9-month appointment.